God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you speak to us. You have said, God, that your word is living and powerful. And God, more in this moment than ever before, we rest on that promise and we ask that you would, that your word would be living and powerful and that you would speak to us through the words of Jesus this morning. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as we go through Mark, the stated goal at the beginning, still the goal, is to get to know Jesus together and to really come to know him more fully than you and I have previously, because we can always know him more and more, and as we read through Mark together, we will. That's the purpose of the messages on Sundays. It's also the purposes of our reading together, so my challenge through this is going to be every week, read the next chapter together. So today we're finishing chapter 3, so next week our reading will be? Yeah, okay, that was much better than week 1. We're coming together around this. Mark chapter 4, I would encourage you, read it every day. Read Mark chapter 4 every day, just read it over and over and over again if you're like, oh, it's so boring. Just keep going because it's living and powerful and God will speak to you with ever increasing degrees of accuracy in your life the more that you read the same passage over. So read Mark chapter 4 every day. Even if you're reading something else in your personal devotional time, read that and then read Mark chapter 4 throughout the day. You can't read the Bible too much. So that's the challenge for this week. What I want to talk about today from this passage is, what I want to look at is how we can be Jesus's family, how we can be Jesus's true family. And what we'll see in this passage, which is one of the weirdest stories in Mark, if you read it, it's one of the ones you just read, you're going to go over and go, that's kind of weird, I don't get it, and just move on. What we see in this story is that when we work with Jesus, when we join our lives to his, we become true family with Jesus and with each other. It's a really, really, really neat idea that Jesus is talking about. Let's go backwards, though, and start with our lives. One thing that we really want, the reason why this is so relevant and important to us and meaningful when we actually dig in and look at what Jesus actually said, is because one thing that you and I want, we want family. We want community. We want to be loved by people, even the most introverted person who would say, no, I just want to be by myself. Seriously, that's all I want, just by myself. Unlisted phone number, my wife has a cell phone, I just leave me alone in the basement by myself, that's when I'm happy. Even that person wants to be known by and loved by one or two other people, not everybody. Nobody wants to like be open to everybody and you know be known by everybody and loved by everyone, but we all want to be known and loved by some people. We want to be close to some people. That's why people do anything for their family many times, their physical family. That's why people become bond with people they play sports with, and they become families with people. I mean, all you do is throw a ball and run around. I mean, why do you get so close as the seasons go on? And these are the guys that we played with in high school. Yeah, you're 50. Why? Well, it's because we want family. We want to be close to people. We want to be loved by. That's why when you work somewhere, inevitably, not everybody, but most of the time, you go there and say, I'm just going to go do my job and then go home to my family. But all of a sudden, you start bonding with the people you work with. In a weird way, it's like, I would never hang out with you normally. We have nothing else in common. And then you become family with these people. You know about each other's lives. And that's why even weird social phenomenon, if you're not part of it, appears weird, like street gangs. That's why they come about, because we want family. We want community. We want to be loved and accepted and needed and appreciated by others. And we will find that anywhere. And how true our family and our community is depends on how real the foundation of that is. What's the thing that draws you together? Well, generally, when I work with people, you know what? There's a little community that forms. But once I stop working in that place, what happens to those friendships? For the most part, you kind of drift apart, and it's not, you wouldn't, you know, like, give your kidney for them. I mean, it's just in a different, live different worlds. Why? Because, what that's based on was just a job. It wasn't, you know, That's why you drift apart from high school friends. At the time, you were close and you were tight and you were family, but the bond wasn't quite as real. That's why when you play sports with people, yes, there is a bond and you're family, but you know that when the season's over and if you don't get back with the same group next year, you're probably not going to spend Christmas together, because the thing that friendship was based on wasn't that real, wasn't that important. It was a game. We won, we lost. Okay, you know, 5 years from now, it's a memory. That's why physical family, when there's blood that goes through our veins, it connects us. When you birthed me, when I grew up in your house, that bond is a little stronger most of the time, isn't it? And when it's estranged, it hurts more than a sports team or people you work with. Why? Well, because it's based on something that's a little more real than a job or a baseball team. We're family. That's why, one reason why, never mind. Yeah, so just go with family. That's why physical family with blood is so tight, because it's based on something very real. I came from you. We share the same blood and the same name and the same genes, or I was raised in your home. And the problem is that no matter how good our community is and how tight our bonds are with other people, even our family, it's on some level all temporary. The less solid the foundation is, the more temporary it is. The season ends, you move on to a new job, well, those friendships kind of drift apart. The more real it is with family and things that are important, the more real the bond is, but it is all kind of temporary. You move away, life changes, you're in a different season of life, all of a sudden you don't spend as much time with your parents, you spend more time with your kids. The community, the family is temporary, and it always leaves us feeling like there's something more. Have you ever felt that? No matter how much you like spending time with the people you work with or your family, or you leave and you go home, it's like, oh, it's like there's something more. There's something deeper. There's I want to be connected a little more with, and that just doesn't happen in life. And Jesus says there actually is something more real than even the deepest community and even the deepest family that you and I experience in life. He says there's something more real than that. And what he says, well, let's look at the story. So we left Jesus healing the guy with the withered hand at the beginning of Mark 3. And then the Pharisees went out, the religious people went out and started plotting to kill him. So that's going on over here. They're figuring out, how are we going to kill him and still, you know, be good with God? And, which that's a weird, how do we kill God's son and still be good with God? And then in verse 7, so then on the other side, Jesus continued on another vein. He withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed. We're going to read just a little bit as we go through. We're not going to read the whole chapter, just a little bit, because I want us to get a picture of what's happening. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed. Yeah, because he just healed a guy's withered hand. This guy can do anything. So they followed him from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, that place, from beyond the Jordan, and from around Tyre and Sidon. And when the great crowd heard all he was doing, they came to him. So then the people were crushing him, and he got in a boat so they wouldn't crush him, and he was healing them, he was teaching them, he was doing what God had sent him to earth to do, to start the beginning of the kingdom of God, what Reese was talking about during the Lord's Supper, to start the arrival of God's kingdom, to start restoring what's broken, both physically and spiritually in people. And as he was doing that, then look at verse 13. He took a little break. He went up to the mountain, and we know from other Gospels, he went to the mountain and prayed all night, and then he called to him those he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So he chose 12 people who would be kind of his inner circle, the people closest to him, the people who were going to actually go do the work with him, his little band of brothers. And then, let's go drop down to verse 20. He names all the disciples, the apostles, the first group of his followers, his chosen few. And then in verse 20, then he went home. not to his house, to his hometown. And the crowd followed again, so they could not even eat. The crowd gathered again, so they could not even eat. There were so many people around him saying, hey, heal me. So many people around saying, I want to hear what you have to say. This is new. This is different. This is something. This is real. This is, church has been boring all my life, but this is something. This connects. And so many people gathered around, he didn't even have time to eat. And when his family heard it, because he was in his hometown, and what would a family say? What would a mother say about all these people mobbing my son, and he's, you know, turned into some kind of weird religious zealot, and he's not even eating anymore, so he's really thin, and what would a mother say? What his mother, when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he's out of his mind. He's there's too many people, they're pushing him too hard. He's kind of losing grip with reality. He's not eating because he doesn't have time, and that's messing with his sense of what he needs to be doing. I mean, good grief, he's 32, 31, 33, somewhere in there. He's not even dating any of the girls in town. We have grandchildren to get on the way. He's not doing the normal things. He's a carpenter. I mean, it's good that he's teaching people about God, but we have a family business, and he's not even eating. And yeah, if he keeps not working in the family business, he's not going to be working either. His priorities are a little askew. We're going to go take him home and say, okay, sit him down and have an intervention. That's what the family was going to do. And then in verse 22, and when the scribes, the religious leaders who came from Jerusalem, were saying, he's possessed by Beelzebub. So his family was coming to take him home. And while that was going on, the religious leaders were saying, we know what the problem is. He's not a little off, you know, he doesn't have low blood sugar because he hasn't been eating, and he's just like kind of starting to lose it. He's demon possessed. He's crazy. That's the only way we can explain this. Everybody's coming out to see him. Everybody doesn't come out to see us when we teach on Saturdays. They don't come out to church. They they have other things more important to do. They can barely get there, and then they can barely stay awake. It kind of stinks for us. And then they're standing there listening to him, and he's healing them. How does he do that? Why can't we do that? That's not right. And so of course, he's demon-possessed. He's out of his mind. He's possessed by Satan. It's that Satan's power that's making him. We know God doesn't work that way, and this is a whole other sermon. It's a good study, but we won't do it today because we only have time for one. So while that's going on, and Jesus then talks with them, read the story. It's good. Verse 31, and his mother and brothers came. They were coming, why? To take him out of the crowd and take him home and talk some sense into him. And standing outside, they sent to him and called him. So they were standing outside, and they said, come on, tell Jesus it's time to go home. Mom's here. Now what's the normal reaction when your family, remember your blood, the people who raised you, the people who birthed you, the people who love you, the people whose name sailors tattoo on their arm, right? That mom, when they come and say, yeah, you're really going. Maybe if you're hard-headed, you keep going that way, but you at least stop and think about it. I mean, that kind of changes things. When your whole family comes and says, you're messed up, right? That's what they were doing to Jesus. And so they sent for him and said, you're not going to continue. They waited outside. They didn't come in and say, let's hear what he's saying. Let's be part of this. They stood outside and said, come, bring him out to us. This is over. This is done. He needs to rest and eat and get a good meal and make a few chairs and, you know, yeah, sure, spend time with your disciples on the weekend. I'm improvising there, but you can imagine what they were thinking. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. So they tell Jesus this. What would you expect Jesus' reaction to be? Well, normally you would say, oh, okay, I know what I'm doing, but I do need to go handle this, so I'm going to go talk to them and tell them, explain why I'm doing this. Or maybe his reaction would be, maybe I am kind of getting things off balance in my life, and maybe they're right, I need to reevaluate things. Or maybe he says, and this is what I think, what I think, he probably, given what he talks about, he doesn't talk about going home with them. He doesn't address their issue of you're not eating. All you're doing is talking about the kingdom coming and healing people, and there's all these people mobbing you, and your life is going in a weird direction. He didn't even address that. You know why? Because he knew that he was in his father's, he was doing what his father had sent him to earth to do. And there's a lesson for us in that. When you and I are doing what God has sent us, as God's children, if you are God's child, and if you are doing what God has sent you to this earth to do, and you know this is how I'm gifted, these are the people that God's put around me, the people God's put in my life, in my family, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm spending my time exactly how I would be spending it. You think forward and do that mental exercise. If I tomorrow go to the doctor and he says you have 6 months to live, what would I change? And you say, well, actually, I'm doing right now what I would do for those last 6 months. Okay, if you're doing what God wants you to do with your life and you're filling eternal purposes with your life, then there's a sense of security that comes with that. It's like, I know that you think that I'm, but you know what? I'm doing what God wants me to do. It might look weird to you. This might not be the path that you would have me be on. This might not be a normal life, but I'm doing what God wants me to do. So he didn't even address that. He didn't even talk about why he wasn't going home. He was doing what God had sent him on earth to do. And then what he does say is really interesting. He talks about something totally different. And Jesus does this a lot. When you would expect him to address one thing, he doesn't even talk about that because it's like painfully obvious what the answer is. I'm doing what my father sent me to do. Why am I going to go home and make chairs and have a hot meal? This is what I'm supposed to. I have very little time. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be talking about the kingdom and preaching and healing. Then he talks about something completely different. Goes in a completely different direction. And he answered them. So think about the context. Your mom and your brothers are outside and they're really worried about you. They're actually here to take you home. Who is my mother and brothers? Who are my mother and brothers? Well, Mr. Low Sugar Count right now, they're the people outside who have come for you. They're very obvious who your mother and brothers are. Who are my mother and brothers? And then looking around at those who sat around him, and I'm thinking right now, and this is my kind of interpretation, but I'm thinking right now, looking at those who sat around him. I don't think he was looking at the whole crowd. I think he was looking at those who sat around him. Who would those be? Probably they would be at the very least the 12 who he had just chosen, his inner circle. Looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and brothers. Here is my family. This is my family. This is family that is more real than blood family. For whoever does the will of God, he is my mother and sister and brother. Jesus is saying there is a family relationship that is deeper and more real than blood. What? No. Yeah. There's a family relationship that is more real and deeper than blood. It's the one that he shares with people who are working with him in his kingdom to help other people come to know him. It's the one that is shared among those who are working together in his kingdom. So a couple of observations from this and an application and we'll be done, which is good because we're almost out of time. Working with Jesus is the most solid foundation on which family and community relationships can be built. More solid than working together at a job, more solid than being on a sports team together, more real than even blood. Working together with Jesus, dedicating your life to his purposes, is the most solid foundation, is the most real thing. Why? Well, because when you work with Jesus to connect other people to God, their eternities change. They go from being children of God's wrath to being God's dearly beloved adopted children. When you study with someone and devote your years of your life to praying for and studying with someone, and then you enter into this water with them and you hear them say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to make him my Lord and my Savior. And then you baptize them and you raise them up. Oh my goodness, something incredibly eternal happens in that moment. And that is more real than even the reality of a family relationship. When we work with other people, when we work as a group to put together environments like this, when you open your home and invite people in, when you spend time with people who are far from God, and you hang out with them, and you go shopping with them, and you play basketball with them, and you're praying for them, when you study with them, when you work with Jesus, and that is more real. That's a bond. That's a reality that is more real even than blood. And it is with, another observation, it is with Jesus. And that's just the most incredible thing. Jesus says, you have a familial relationship like mothers and sons and sisters and brothers have with me, with the Son of God. That's incredible that Jesus would say, I'm not just your Savior and Lord. I'm not just the Son of God who is God. I am in this deep, intimate relationship with those who are working with me. How do you think the disciples felt when they heard that? The 12 that he had just chosen, how do you think they felt when he said, you're my real family? More than your mom? Oh yeah, more than, you're my, why? Because we're in this together, and this is the most real thing in the world. How do you think they felt? That's what he offers to us. And we're not just, there's an implication from that. If we're in this deep, familiar relationship with Jesus, that means that he is with us as we do his work. So the Great Commission, going to all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and, that's the old translation, right? Surely, you can take this to the bank, this is true, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. His Spirit is in us, we're connected with him, he is working in the world, he's building his church, and he's connected with us. So in the good moments, when everything is wonderful, and we are in the water baptizing that person, oh my goodness, he's with us. He's with us, and we share that with him, and that allows us to share the joy of someone seeing Jesus and entering into the kingdom like it was real. It makes the joy more real than anything, the fact that Jesus is with us. And when things are bad, and when the person that we've been investing our lives in says, you know what, you're a good friend, I never want anything to do with Jesus, I don't want to study, I don't want to just, we can be friends, but just leave Jesus out, and we say, okay, we'll still be friends, and I'm going to still pray for you, you won't know it, but I'm going to be praying for you, and that's going to change someday. But when things are bad, when that person who we've been pouring our lives into as a Christian turns away from God and our heart breaks, when people talk about us and say we're crazy like they said about him, he's with us in those moments. He's with us because he's our family. He's our true family. And when the work is hard, it's like, how many times do I have to pray for this person? How many times am I going to give clothing and food to people in Jesus' name who really could care less about Jesus for all apparent reason? He's with us as we work with him. He's with us. He's our family. And it's not just that we're, another observation, we're not just family with Jesus. We're in that deep family relationship with other people who are working with us. See, the text doesn't say this, but it's a very small logical leap. If everyone who is working with Jesus is connected to him in a deep, familiar way, like a mother, brother, or sister, what does that make all of them? Family, right? We're family with each other, not just with him. And it's not just, I mean, there's a level of family that we have when we're all in the kingdom of God. So if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, and we don't hardly see each other or talk or anything, but we're family, so we're brothers, and we will spend eternity together. That's wonderful. But there is a deeper level of family that comes when you work with someone together on something, when you're both praying for the same person, when you're both standing next to each other, handing out clothing week after week, when you're working together and doing the Lord's Supper and doing the songs and month after month, doing the same work together, there's a level of family that you have with those people that you don't have with anybody else. Why? Because true family comes from working together in the kingdom. I did not anticipate this when I started doing things in the kingdom and planting the church and having studies and whatnot. I did not anticipate, and I really didn't want friends. I'm one of those people, put me in the basement by myself with a remote control, you know. Let me talk to my wife once in a while, but I like being by myself. I wasn't looking for it, didn't want it, but it's incredible. Looking back, that God has put the people in my life who I'm the closest to are the people who we've worked together. We've written books together. We worked on projects together. We've set up church downtown and torn it down. We've worked on teaching on the messages together. We've worked together. We've prayed for the same person. We've studied with them, and I've been able to film as that person baptized them here. There's a level of family that you experience with those people that you don't experience with anybody else. So, what do we do to experience that? If that's really true, if we really can be true family with Jesus and with each other, what do we do? Well, if you're not part of God's family, you enter in. That's the first thing. If you've never decided to make Jesus your Lord and repent and be baptized, when you cross, Reese said, you cross from darkness to light. That is so true. You also cross from being outside of the family to inside of the family. You become Jesus' family when you make that decision. And in this community, if you haven't made that decision, tell someone when you're ready, and you can be baptized. The water is generally pretty warm. Sometimes it's colder than other times, but normally it's bearable. If you're already in the family, and you say, yeah, I don't get that whole deep level of connection, because you have to work with people. You have to choose a project. You have to invest your life in people who are outside of the family. You have to work with Jesus in the work that he's given you, because as you do that, your connection with Jesus gets stronger and stronger, and you become true family with him. And as you do that, your connection with your brothers and sisters who are working with you on whatever that project is becomes stronger. So, for those of you who are in the family this morning, I would merely ask you, okay, what are the things God has given you to do? What are the jobs? And you say, well, I know what they are. I know who the people are. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing it. If I had 6 months left, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm fulfilling my purpose in life. Wonderful. As you do that, remember you're not doing it by yourself. Live in that, bask in the connection that you have with Jesus as you do that work. Be conscious of the fact that he is with you. You are his family as you work with him. And let that fill you with hope and peace and energy as you work. And if you say, I know what I should be doing, but I'm really not, okay, dive into that. Invest your life in those people. Work on those projects. Whatever it is that you know that God wants you to be spending your life doing, why? Because as you do that, your connection with Jesus gets stronger and closer. And as you do that, your connection with the brothers and sisters who are working on that with you gets stronger and closer. And ask anybody here who you watch and you know that they're knocking it out. They're working with people and projects, and ask them if that's not true. And unless it's an anomaly, they'll say, oh yeah, that's exactly the way it is. This is my family. And I feel closer to Jesus than ever when I'm working with him. Why don't we stand? Why don't we pray? Holy Spirit, we ask that you would lead us as you promised to do into all righteousness, that you would show each of us what our next step is, and that you would give us the hope and the comfort and the peace that as we work with you, Jesus, that we become your true family and family with the other people we're working with, and that we would be able to experience that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.